glad he didn't throw me away. You say, well, I'm a holding on to him. Well, there'll be a few storms you'll let go. I'm glad he's a holding on to us. No man. You believe in eternal security? If I didn't, I'd close my Bible. I can't live by the letter of the law. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Kept by grace. Lived by grace. Seen about by grace. And I'm thankful for that this morning. In 1 John chapter number 3, right before the little book of Jude, there is a verse that stands in our heart today and is speaking loudly. And he says this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, even though the devil ain't reminding you, we know that when he shall appear, and he's going to get here, just hold on, morning's coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's not going to change. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Thank you for standing this morning of honor in the reading of the Word of God. Our Father, again, we are grateful today. I want to thank you for these that have stood, God that has uplifted you, and we thank you for that. We're thankful we have a God that we can talk to, a God that we can lift up and praise. But now, Lord, it's come to my time, my lot in life. God, you've called me to preach, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Lord, how you've touched me this morning. I want to thank you for the songs, God, that's been sung. But now, Lord, you're the great preacher. You've put me here as the under-shepherd of this flock. And Lord, what responsibility I have. I don't take that lightly. So Lord, that's why I'm calling on you now and asking you, would you help me this morning? And would you show me what we need? And God, about tonight, I pray you'd put in my heart what I need to do. If Brother Dean needs to come here and preach, or Lord, if I need to preach, I pray you'd help me, you'd show me. But now, Lord, I this is the young'un sung, one day at a time. God, now 1 hour at a time. I don't know what to do after a while, but Lord, I feel what I need to do right now. And I pray now you'd help me, you'd preach through me. Let preaching be easy. Lead and guide me. Oh God, I need you. Would you send the Holy Ghost to exalt your Son, to open hearts, to open ears, to open eyes, and we'll be grateful to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. As by way of introduction today, I want to notice, first of all, in this text, in 1 John 3, the expression of it. Behold. That's a word that gets a hold to your britches. Behold. It shakes me a little bit. You know, he didn't use the word now or let, but he says, behold. It is a word, no doubt, of expression. And I'm glad that even in John's writings, the last apostle that was living, the last apostle that walked through this world, he really didn't have the expressions to tell about the love of God. So he just simply said, behold, put it on hold right now. You'll see it after a while. I'm going to do the best I know to express to you about the love of God. There's been many sermons preached, been many songs sung. None has never done it justice. So he simply says, behold, the expression. Number two, the examination. He said, what manner of love? What manner or what sort of it? My goodness, I guess only the cross can express the love that he's given to us. Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing, the love that he showed to us. We see here the expression of it. the examination of it, but note the extension of it. He said that the Father hath bestowed. It means to bring forth. I'm glad that He has shared His love with me. And therefore, in verse 9, I've received a new nature, a divine nature. He said, whosoever is born of God. I'm glad it's a whosoever gospel. He said, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin or practice sin. And I'll tell you how come. Because his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now we all know that we can sin. He said simply if we would confess our sins, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he said within this text, the extension of it, when he's bestowed the love of God on you and you genuinely got born again by the grace of God, there's a divine nature come and lives in you by the seed of the Holy Ghost of God, and you can't go do habitually what you used to do. Why, sure, we mess up. We're all a bunch of mess ups. But aren't you glad that God can restore and God can refire and God can rebuild? And so it takes me to my fourth thought today, and I want to preach out of it. Not only the expression of it, behold, the examination, what manner, the extension he bestowed it, but the experience. He said, behold, now are we the sons of God, or the children of God. I'm glad I'm in the family. I want to say, now we have a Father's house. I'm glad I'm in the family. Now, there's been some that has stood and sung. There's been some that stood and testified that I didn't have this family. I didn't have this home. And aren't you glad the good God of glory come by and shared His love with you, put you in the family of God. And if you're not in the family today, you can get in the family by the grace of God. There's three ways we get in the family. Number one, we're born into it. I'm glad in 1961 I was born in this world, the Bowman family. But in 1981, friend, at 20 year old, God come by and birthed me into His family. Now we get into His family by three ways. Either a birth, or number two, by an adoption. I'm glad not only have I been born again, but He's adopted me into the family of God. I mean, I've got full papers, got full rights as a child of God. I'll never have to go to a court and they get me back from Him. I'm His forever. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. So we can only get in this family by three ways. To be born, or to be adopted, or thirdly, to be married in it. Can I tell you, we've experienced all three. The Lord Jesus, we are His bride. We're the church. He's the bridegroom. One day there's a great marriage supper going to take place and we're going home. But until then, I want to preach this morning on the Father's house. I'm glad I've got a house that I belong to. Now I have an address. We turn and we find this place and Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. We find here, in my opinion, we find a man that is at the Father's house. Now, it's been differences of what his age was. But we know in Luke 15 and verse number 11, we find, first of all, there is relationship at the Father's house. Now, Brother Randall had stood and said, you know, thank God for my family. And I want to thank God for my family. But let me tell you, we've got a bigger family than that. Matter of fact, I'm closer to some of you than I am my blood kindred. Thank God we've been put in the family of God and we have a good family to belong to. Now, there's nobody perfect in it. Amen. And so we might as well quit looking for perfection. There's nobody don't have trouble. man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So if you was born from your mama, trouble is coming. But ain't you glad we got somebody to get in our trouble with us? Now, in this life, it's not always a fun place to be. It's not always Nintendo and a dartboard. There's real storms. There's real situations. But certainly here at the Father's house, there is relationship. He said now, a certain man, he had two sons. I'll tell you this, the Father knows how many he has. Now, preacher, how many is in the family of God? I don't know, but there's a definite number. And when that last number's made up, guess what? We're going home, honey. Whoa, morning's coming when the last number's made up. Now, we had some saved Wednesday night back in teen church. I thank God for that. It was just the number being fulfilled and added to. I don't know where the number is, but God knows the number. You say, well, preacher, how many got saved here? I don't know. But I can tell you this. God knows every one of His young'uns. And so, I'm glad that the devil don't like old-time preaching. Now, a little boom and bop don't mess with this preacher. I'm used to booms and bops. And so I thank God the lights is on. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I ain't got to have this microphone, neighbor. God put me one in there. I ain't got to have electricity. Amen. And so don't just let a few booms and bops blow you out of this thing. And let me go and tell you something while I'm trying to get there today. Don't let one sermon blow you out of the church house. Sometimes we need real hard preaching to help us. And so don't let one heated up sermon blow you out of the pew this morning. Get you some glue in your britches and some guts in your craw, amen, and be determined to park at the house of God. Hey, let me tell you, I thank God, hallelujah, morning's coming, glory. Well, morning's coming. Won't be no more lights out. Now, he had two. I tell you, I ain't going to call the devil out on the carpet. But I can tell you this, I'm glad I got something in me more than a boom and a pop. There was a, you said, oh, I don't like this church. I hate you don't, because I love it. Well, it's too loud. Well, bring you some cotton in your ears next Sunday. He said a certain man had two sons. He knows how many he's got. There's relationship. And the younger of them said to his father, aren't you glad we got a father we can talk to? Oh, I'm glad I'm not serving a little pot-belly God sitting up on a Chinese counter. I'm glad you can't box my God up and put Him over in a corner and set Him back out and bow down to it. I'm glad we got a God that can hear us and see us and touch us. You say, how you know God is alive? Well, you done felt Him touch you already, ain't you? That wasn't emotions touched you. That's a good Holy Ghost come by and touched you. And so they talked to Him. The younger of them said to his father. Now, we better watch our mode of praying. Because he said, Father, give me the portion of good. I wonder if when we get to heaven, how many times we're going to praise Him for not answering the prayer we prayed. How many times have I said, now God, I know what I need, so you give me that. But He held it back and we got a little upset at Him. But what it was, He is keeping us from something that would hurt us. So the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. There's relationship. And then, not only relationship at the Father's house, there are resources. You'll notice this now. He went there by himself. Aren't you glad we're not here by ourselves today? Boy, this old building sure would look bad empty. Amen. And I'm glad that we've got somebody in the family that we can talk with and hug on and cry on. You say, well, I don't like that hugging and crying. Well, just give it a few Sundays. Matter of fact, you may be surprised. You may get at it quicker than you thought that you would. So we see here is the resources now. The younger of them asked his father, he said, I want you to give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, there are some things that are set up for us. If it falls, I'm glad it's been set up. And I'm going to tell you, there are resources in the family of God. In the Father's house, there are resources. And I thank God for them. But we better be careful how we use them. Because Father knows best. Now, he said this, I want you to give me these goods that falls to me. And so he divided unto them his living. See, that's what God's done for me and you. He's given us everything he's got. He give us his son. He give us himself in the person of the Lord Jesus. And watch this now. There are not only relationship and resources. Isn't it amazing what we get at the Father's house? But there are responsibilities. I like what Brother Randall said about that dog. He wasn't tied. I'll be honest with you. I wished I had a snap ring in my collar real close to the post, that I wouldn't ever get out in the road and get run over or get out in the hay field where somebody's supposed to put me in a bale of hay and put me in the barn loft. But let me tell you, I don't know how far that snap ring and that rope will let you go, but if you want a God, young'uns, it ain't going to let you go so far that you can't get back home. He'll either bring you back home in a box or bring you back home in repentance. I said, no, notice these responsibilities. You know something? That's just like us. We go to getting a little big for our britches, and we go to using these resources, and we get big-headed. And all of a sudden, he said, I can handle it. Just give it to me. It scares me what I can handle. It scares me what I can do. He said, I want you to give me. Now, there are responsibilities. So now watch this, verse 13. It didn't take long. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. You know, I've noticed this. When you leave from the Father's house, you get a lot farther than you thought you would. And a lot of you today, you're here in body, but your spirit's not here. It's way out yonder at a ball field somewhere. It's way out yonder at the grill. I know it's Father's Day, and I know it's probably after 12 o'clock. I've just now got started good. And so what we need to realize is this. We've got responsibilities. We better be careful how we use the things that the Father has given us. He's entrusted to us with children. He's entrusted us with many things of wealth that money cannot buy. What kind of price can you put on a call of God? What kind of price can you put on a talent God has given you? What kind of price can you put on fellowship with God? The Spirit of God, the presence of God. And so it don't take him long. He gets out of the Father's house and he says that he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now God will let you waste it. Don't think just because you want a God's young'uns, he won't let you get stupid. You can get stupid. Oh, you can get real crazy. Because I'm going to tell you something, we got responsibility. We're not robots. That's why God's give us a Bible. That's why He's give us a Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost that lives in us. That's why He's give us a church family to keep us in tune. Peter had a rooster kept him in tune. It'd do us good if we all had a rooster in our pocket. I tell you what I've noticed. I've got one down inside of me crows regularly. But he don't say, he says, And when I go past that, I'm getting in trouble. So there are responsibilities at the Father's house. Now, he took his goods and he went into a far country. Verse 14, it didn't take him long. I don't know how much he got, but it didn't take him long. He spent it all. And it won't take you long from the outside of the Father's house to spend whatever you've got. It won't take you long. I mean, just a blink and you can spend it all. Just a blink, you can spend it all. Young person, that you've got, it won't take you but just a minute to lose it. Mom and daddy, that you got, won't take but just one phone call to lose it. There's responsibilities. I wonder, we find him now, not many days after he gathered all, took his journey to far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasteful. I don't want to waste what God's given me. I want to use it for Him. And I want to use it to be a blessing for somebody else. The Bible said he'd spent it all. There arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, it didn't take him long to get to the hog pen. And I don't know if any of you have ever been around a hog pen, but it's not a good place to hang out. It's a stinkingest place you'll ever get around all your life. But, you know, if you upwind from the hog pen, it don't smell too bad. But if you get downwind of a hog pen, neighbor, let me tell you, it really gets to stinking. And God will let you get into some places that's stinking. Now, he's found himself in a stinking place. I wonder how different the story would have been. God, just give me what I need. God, you take the reins of my life. God, you run the show. God, you do it. Now, you've given me all kind of resources, but I got responsibility. And this is my responsibility. I'm to pray and say, now, God, what do I do now? Because I sure am afraid what I'll do by myself. Responsibility. Boy, I wonder how the story would have changed. Hey, young people, I wonder how many young people could have had a changed life or a changed story if they had just stayed close in the Father's house. Mom and Daddy, I wonder how our story would be different today if we just stayed close into the Father's house. Boy, there's safety in His house, but when we get out of bounds in our responsibility, I'm going to tell you, it's just open game. When you kick the door down and say, come on in here, devil, let me tell you, you're going to get you some devil. And you're going to get more devil than what you know to do with devil. Young'uns go to smoking one joint, before long they're hooked. They get one crack rock, before long they're smoking three or four crack rocks. They never did intend to, but they got out of bounds. Responsibility. Listen, God's not going to snap that lead in your collar. And He's not going to make you be a robot. He's got some rope and you can sort of go wherever you want to go to. But there's a price to pay when you get there. I look around at my children. I don't want to pay that price. I look at my church family. I don't want to pay that price. And so here we see there is responsibility. But I like what he done. The Bible said, verse number 17, there's repentance. When he came to himself, he said, now how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, it wasn't so bad at daddy's house after all. He said, you know, it wasn't near as bad as the devil was telling me. And he said, you know, all this pretty picture of the devil showing me, it's not near as pretty as what he said it was. He said, the devil's a liar. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's not our friend. And so there's repentance. He came to himself. Aren't you glad there was a time in your life that God let you Come to the bottom of it. Come to yourself and realize what you can do by yourself. Nothing. Because he said, without him, we can do nothing. I know a lot of preachers, they're writing books today about how to build churches. I wouldn't buy it. Because, see, God does things different. But it will always line up with his book. And so God will let us do things that we will be sorry for. And so he came to himself. He looked in verse 18. Now, he said, I tell you what I'll do now. He said, I've seen where I am. I will arise and go to my Father. That's the first stop that we need to make. I'm going to rise and go to my Father. You say, Brother Ken, was this boy saved? Well, I think he can preach it either way, but I can tell you one thing. He had a father, and he knowed where he was, and he knowed how to get back to him. Simply by saying. Aren't you glad you can talk to God about it? You know, sometimes you won't have nobody else but him to talk to. I will say unto him, Father, look here. I'm not going to blame it on nobody else. I have. My wife didn't. My husband didn't. I did it. Not even my young'un. And you know what? Quit blaming everything on the devil. We're in flesh. I have sinned. Look here. Why would a lost man have any of this on his mind? I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm going to tell you what. Now, I want to be right with you, but I'm going to tell you what. I've got to be right with him. Got to be right with him. And now, watch this. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, now I want you to notice there's a reception. His father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He couldn't even get make me as one of the hired servants out of his mouth. And verse 22, God butted in. He said, but the father, he said, I'm not even worthy to come back home. If you'll just, he couldn't even get to make me, God butted in. And he said, but the father said. We all ought to be a bunch of bond slaves. We all ought to have striped suits on, picking trash up out of the ditch. But the Father. He said, now I've got my story figured out what I'm going to tell him. He said, I'm going to tell him I'm sorry and I'm one of his youngins. Just make me to be one of them plow out there in the fields and pick up trash. And about the time he had his little speech wrote down in his hand and he got back down to Daddy's house and he was a-reading the poem, Daddy butted in and he said, but the Father! I'm glad we've got a Father that'll butt in on our craziness. But the Father, when he was yet a great way off, saw him. I tell you why he saw him. Because he isn't looking for him. He said he'll be back after a while. Let him see what he had. Sometimes it's good just to see what you had. Sometimes it's good to see what you got before you go. Because he won't never show you what you got. Right now, my girl, all she can hear is my grandbaby crying. But I see a lot further than that.
I say, thank God I got a grandbaby. And thank God the little thing can cry. The father saw and had compassion. Ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There's restoration. I'm glad it's restoration at the father's house. How many times have I come back home and said, I'm sorry? I've never come home yet, Brother Mike, that I hadn't got restoration. He didn't kick him. No, he had compassion on him. He ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. They began to be merry. Brother Clint, I want you to come this morning and sing me a song. And I want to tell you that there's restoration at God's house. You know, God don't do His children the way people in the world does their children. There's a lot of mom and daddies throw their young ones in a dumpster. Once they've done something, they just throw them away. I sure am glad God hadn't thrown me away. And you know, I don't see nobody standing down there throwing rocks when he come back. When he fell, I don't see nobody throwing rocks. And I'm not belittling sin. Sin's dangerous and sin's very addictive. But I'm going to tell you, we can get out there so quick. I mean, it never did even mean to. It's just spiritually. How many times you thought, well, you know, I didn't mean to do that. Well, ain't none of us meant to do it. But we got to confess it and get rid of it and turn to the Father and say, I'm sorry about what I've done. I'm sorry. And you know what the Father done? He had compassion. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. He's got compassion. I can tell you this, don't be looking for compassion from the world. You won't find none. You're not going to find compassion from the world. But you will at the Father's house. And I tell you who you'll always find it from, the Father. How many times that when I've done something, got cold on God, just cold, just going through routine. There have been a time and I didn't say, God, I wish you'd help me with this. I wish you'd restore me back to where I was. He'd have compassion on me. Have you ever been put in the family of God? I said there was some Wednesday night, girls got settled in their heart. Has it ever been settled in your heart that you're saved? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you know that you're saved, that you're one of His young? Maybe you've went out there and you need some restoration. See, He didn't have compassion out there. He had it in the house. He started back to Him. It'd be a good morning for some of you to start back to Him and just get out and say, God, I've got cold. And I've got dirty. And God, I need restoration in my life. I wish revival would break out in our church. I mean, I wish we'd see so many sinners getting saved. So many young people getting excited, standing up, testifying. What you need this morning in your life from the Father's house? Maybe you need an answer from the Father's house. Maybe you simply just need to come around and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You're that kind of God that you brought me back in and you've restored to me that I need. And maybe you're hearing you way out there today. Well, let me tell you something. There's compassion at His house. But you'll have to get honest with Him to get it. I've noticed honesty is the best part. A lot of times I come up, it's not this business, God, if I've done something. It's, God, I've done this, and I'm being honest with you, and I need you to help me. And that's when I got help. Whatever you need this morning, our brother's going to sing. Our